Today we arrive at the conclusion of our bittersweet study in the book of Ruth. In Ruth 1, we saw Naomi's life, and it was filled with disobedience, disobedient family members, disasters, famines, and ultimately death. Famine struck her family. Disobedience defined her husband's lifestyle, and death destroyed her family. Throughout the series, we have learned that we need Scripture's promises to put our tragedies into context with the providence of God. We began our study 7 weeks ago now with a definition of providence from the Heidelberg Catechism. And it's going to come up on the screen right now for you so that we can revisit it. And here's what the definition says. The almighty and ever-present power of God, which God upholds as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. This definition has to become our confession as we end this bittersweet study in Ruth. We must become a people that understand that during tragedy, especially during tragedy, that God is up to something. That is the whole point as we end up in our text today. God upholds every aspect of our life. Every aspect. Even the seemingly insignificant things like leaf and blade. All things come to us not by chance, not by luck, but God's providential hand. Prosperity and poverty are all by his hand. He gives and he takes away. And God has an aim within our adversity. That was the point of the first message. And as we close with chapter 4 today, we will see God's ultimate purpose in our tragedies. Redemption is God's purpose in our tragedies. So we will begin to see Jesus today in our text. Yes, 1,200 years before he was born, we will be able to see him in this text. And we will see Naomi's and Ruth's redemption, and we'll be able to make some connections to our own redemption. So let's get to the proposition. The proposition is that God will fulfill his promises to those who wait for redemption. There's a reason why we sang songs like, "I will wait on you." Because it's key. It's a key biblical concept. As we wait for God, he works out the redemption. And this is Naomi. She was able to wait for God despite the bitterness that she felt, despite the fact that she felt nothing for God for years and years. So now at the end of her story, we see how God has planned to redeem her all along and how he exchanged her bitterness for joy. And God promises to do the same thing for us. If we would pursue Scripture, trust in Scripture during our tragedies, God will be faithful to fulfill his promise of redemption. All right, so let's see how God accomplished this for Naomi. Let's look at our text this morning. So Ruth chapter 4, we're going to pick up in verse 13, and then we're going to read through the end of the book. And here's what it says. It says, Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram Amminadab, and to Amminadab was born Nahshon, and to Nahshon Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse David. We see that the final word of the book of Ruth is David. God fulfilled promises to Naomi and Ruth so that we can get to a person named David. If there is no Ruth, no Naomi in Bethlehem, there would be no David. If Ruth stayed in Moab with Orpah, there would be no David. So let's see this morning how David fulfills God's promises to Naomi and Ruth. Let's jump into the first point. The first point is that God restores joy to Naomi through her relationships. There's a restoration through relationships. This is what we've been waiting for. Naomi, despite her bitterness, did not allow her hope to die. It was just dormant. And God reinstilled hope in her and to her that eventually led Naomi back to joy. And the instrument to restore joy to Naomi was through her relationships. So let's take a look at them. Let's go back to verse 13 and let's walk through it. Verse 13 says, "So Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son." We see four relationships that are present in this one verse. We have Ruth, we have Boaz, we have the Lord, and then we have this child, this newborn son. Boaz and Ruth get married, and Ruth experiences the joys of marriage, and God works within his design for marriage. We have to remember the context of Ruth's life. She was married for 10 years to Mahlon, 10 years of childlessness, and then Mahlon dies. Now, as a woman, Ruth probably blamed herself for the childlessness, that it's her fault that she was unable to provide a son for this family of Elimelech. This is why the writer is so intentional and purposeful about Ruth's pregnancy. The Lord was the one who enabled Ruth's womb. He's the ultimate and decisive factor. Yes, he worked within Ruth and Boaz and their beautiful marriage. But this also implies something else about God's providence that we have to grasp. This implies that the 10 years of childlessness that Ruth experienced with Mahlon was also in God's providential plan. Both instances in her life, her childlessness, and then finally getting married to Boaz and having a child, both of those things fall within God's promises and God's providence. This isn't the enemy's fault and then God's fault. It is all God. What is God's goal in enabling her to conceive right now? Why right now in this stage in life? Verse 14 kind of tells us. Let's take a look at it. "A son is born, and the women of Bethlehem tell Naomi this. They say, 'Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel.'" The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive so that Naomi can be redeemed. We say, hold on a second. We just read the previous verses. Didn't Boaz just redeem the land, give her money, marry Ruth, all this? Isn't the redemption done? No, the redemption is not done yet. God's promises are not fully fulfilled. The son born to Boaz and to Ruth is also meant to redeem Naomi. Through this child, joy will be restored to Naomi. And the women of Bethlehem ask God for this child's name to become famous in Israel. Bethlehem wants all in Israel to know about this son and his story, the tragedy of the family. And in verse 15, the women of Bethlehem, they just continue. These people are so encouraging to this family. Here's what they say in verse 15. They say, "May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age." Why? "Because your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Now we see how the child redeems Naomi. This child will restore life to Naomi. Now, the Hebrew word for restore means to return. It implies that something has been lost, something has been taken, and that it needs to be returned to that person. You ask, what needs to be restored? It says restorer of life. Now, the word life in Hebrew is nephesh. Now, nephesh talks about what animates the body, what makes us live and move and have our being. It is nephesh. So through all Naomi faced, her spirit took a toll. And this child would reinvigorate joy into her nephesh, into her soul. And not only will he return joy, but he will sustain it even in her old age. So this is the promise through this child. As Naomi grows older, as her body weakens, and she has to accept that, this child will play a critical role in sustaining joy, even to the very end in that last phase of life. Naomi's body is going to fail, but her joy is going to be indestructible. And that is because of this child. Then the women of Bethlehem return to Ruth, and they tell Naomi that Ruth is better than 7 sons for Naomi. Now think about it for a second. Naomi had 2 sons, Mahlon, Chilion. They died. And this one daughter is better than 7 of them. This shows the excellence and the value of Ruth. So let's summarize how God restores Naomi through her relationships. She has a daughter who is an excellent woman, a woman of virtue, a model woman, someone who is better to her than 7 sons combined. She has a son-in-law in Boaz who is a model man, who is courageous, who knows God's word, who risks on behalf of God's word. And now she has a little baby grandchild who she is going to love. And through this child, her joy will be sustained even in that last phase of life for her. Naomi has waited for this for decades. It's been at least 20 years that she has been waiting for this moment. And God was faithful to restore joy to her at the best time. So let's go a little bit deeper into Naomi's restoration so that we can start making our own connections. And point 2 is going to help us with that. Point 2 is that Naomi's redemption foreshadows our future salvation. So the child's born, and verse 16 tells us what happens. In verse 16, it says that Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and became his nurse. Naomi loved this child. Naomi always wanted to be with this child. Remember, she left Bethlehem full, had a husband, 2 sons, getting away from the famine. Elimelech's going to take care of them. She comes back empty. There's nothing that she comes back with in her eyes but bitterness. But now through Boaz and Ruth, and ultimately by God's abundant grace, she is becoming full again. In verse 17, we see the name of this child. The women of Bethlehem call this child Obed. And the purpose behind it is that these women of Bethlehem think that Obed belongs to Naomi because Obed is always with Naomi. Ruth is not really in this last phase in the book of Ruth. It's all about Naomi. He's called Obed because of how Naomi always wanted to be with him, loving on him, serving him. And actually, the root of his name, Obed, is related to the verb for serve. So this shows us the redemption that Naomi has found through Obed. Naomi is going to love on Obed. She's going to nurse Obed. And she's going to serve Obed. Through this child, Naomi has found redemption. Her husband, Elimelech, he may have been disobedient, but she is not going to be disobedient with this child. So now we can make some connections to our salvation. Naomi's redemption foreshadows our own salvation. And we have to look at the rest of the verses in this chapter to make this connection. So I'm just going to pick up in verse 17 and read all the way through to the end. So it says, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron. To Hezron was born Ram. And to Ram, Amminadab. And to Amminadab was born Nashon. To Nashon, Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz. To Boaz, Obed. And to Obed was born Jesse. And to Jesse, David. You should be asking yourself as a reader, why end a narrative with a genealogy? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. There's no other genealogy stuff going on. Why this right now? It's to get to David. This is the connection that we have to make. The last word of the book is David. This is King David, the man after God's own heart. God would make a covenant with this man, David, that one of his descendants would eternally rule the world forever. Hopefully one day we'll read about it in 2 Samuel. Maybe we'll go through it together as a church. And this descendant of David that would eternally rule is our Lord Jesus. So get this. David's grandfather is Obed. Jesus' physical great, 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 however generation's grandfather is Obed. David's great grandparents are Ruth and Boaz. What a family tradition to follow. So here's the connection. No Obed. No David. No David, no Jesus. If these events didn't happen, it wouldn't have followed along all the way down to Jesus and our salvation in him. So this puts all of Naomi's life into proper context. All that Naomi experienced was to foreshadow our future salvation, to prepare the way for Jesus. Naomi and Ruth had to be in Bethlehem, so that Boaz could see Ruth, and then he could desire Ruth, and then he could risk to redeem Ruth and step up to that closer relative. Ruth and Boaz's marriage was in God's sovereign plan. Obed, the grandfather of future King David, is the result of all of this tragedy. So all this foreshadows our own salvation. Like Naomi, we experience our own disobedience, the disobedience of the relationships around us. We experience disasters. We experience have to struggle through death. We are the same way. But to realize we are fallen people building relationships in a fallen world. And we are going to continue to experience our own unique set of circumstances. We're going to face disasters. We're going to encounter and fall into disobedience. We are going to grieve and struggle through the death of loved ones. All these things that have happened in the book of Ruth will continue to happen in our lives. But there is a son of Ruth who is a restorer of life and a sustainer of joy. For Naomi, this child of Ruth is Obed. But for us, it's Jesus. This child of Ruth is Jesus. And in Jesus, we will find joy and we will find lasting redemption. So at this point, if we were to meet Naomi and ask her, do you have any regrets? Do you wish that God would do things differently? She'd be like, there's no way. And the whole reason is because of this baby boy, Obed. She wouldn't trade. She'd go through all the tragedy again, all the disaster, all the disobedience, all the death, so she could have Obed. It's mind-boggling, but that's probably what she would say. Obed is too precious to her. She's found joy and redemption in this baby boy. And it's the same for us. This is your invitation this morning. You who are struggling to see the providential hand of God in your current circumstances or maybe something in your past. If you hold on to God, if you hold on to the word, if you see Jesus, he's going to redeem you. So now we are finished with our bittersweet study of Ruth, and we have to make application to our lives. So let's get to the point of application. The point is to reaffirm your God-given role in your significant relationships, your spouse, your family, your extended family, work relationships, friends. You may have experienced similar tragedies like Naomi, a disobedient husband, the death of loved ones, famine, providing for your family. Your story may be similar to Naomi's story. It may have been decades since you have last felt joy or anything with God. You may have little or you may have no hope in God or even to know what that is like. But now it is time to reaffirm your role. The book of Ruth is a game changer for us as men and women, as we build relationships, as we build a family, as we trust in Jesus. You've heard the story now of Naomi and Ruth. And there is no difference between these two ladies and Boaz and us. There's no difference. We encounter the similar things. Redemption is God's plan for you. No matter what you are facing, no matter what you have faced, the disobedience of the past, whether it's the Elimelech in your life or your own disobedience, it has been paid for through the Son of Ruth, Jesus. The disasters of the past are over. God will restore joy through your relationships. And the death of those that still haunt you, that still hurt you, if you put your hope in Jesus, this descendant of Obed, if you trust in him, he will give you this ability to never feel the ultimate and decisive sting of death. So it's time to reaffirm the God-given role God has placed in our lives. It is time to reaffirm what it's like to be a man, to be a woman, to be a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a child. So the question is, how do we reaffirm our roles? Where do we go from here? I've got four practical suggestions for you, and I encourage you to write them down at the bottom of your outline. Here's the first one. It should be coming up on the screen. First way is just to study Scripture. Two words, and this may be what God is saying to you today. This is it. I encourage you to write it down. Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi all knew God's word to varying extents, especially Boaz. He knew the promise of the shelter of God's wings. He knew the concept of redeeming land, of being the kinsman redeemer, critical passages in the Torah. But for many of us, we do not study Scripture. We are not devoted to Scripture. Hopefully you have seen through this book study in Ruth that God's promises in Scripture, this is what puts us on a trajectory back to joy. Many of us, we don't follow God because we haven't experienced that joy in him. But if you study the word, be patient, keep trucking through it, God will give joy. And when he does, you are never going to turn back. That is the only thing, when I look back on my own tragedies of the past, what is it? Why didn't I give up on God? Why didn't I just walk away from church? It's because I've experienced that Scripture is sweet. It's sweeter than anything. And for some of us leaving this bittersweet study, this is the resolution that you need to make, to study Scripture. But you may ask, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to go about it. I don't know how to read something and for it to come to life, for me to understand it. This is what your church family is for. This is why we intentionally have opportunities like Gather and life groups. They're meant to help you with this. So that means you just have to open up your life to the church, be around people, see how they read Scripture, see how they think about Scripture, see how they talk about Scripture. And through it, you're going to learn how to approach the Bible. Here's the second kind of resolution for us. It's to trust in the promises of Scripture during tragedies. You can't do this unless you study Scripture. You can't be able to take out the promises of it unless you're looking at it. Many people who are close to faith in Jesus, but never fully execute a real relationship with him, it could be because they have not reconciled their current tragedies or their past tragedies with God's providential hand. Naomi's life should be a reminder to us that God has a particular aim in our adversities, whatever it is that we are going through now or have in the past that is haunting us, and his aims are worth it. Naomi knew those promises. Even though she felt like God was against her and she was bitter, eventually she survived it. Let's get to the third resolution. This is one that's big on my heart. The third resolution is to pursue biblical manhood and womanhood. This is a burden on my heart, church. When I look at our church, my heart longs for men and women, and especially our men, to affirm and to live out God's standard, his vision for our lives. And the men and the women in the book of Ruth, they give us examples and they give us non-examples of what to do and what to never do as we build relationships with one another. Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, and that closer relative to Boaz, they give us non-examples of manhood, about passivity, a lack of desire for implementing God's promises. They give us not examples of selfishness. The closer relative can be in Bethlehem for months and do nothing with Naomi. Orpah gives us a non-example of womanhood. at Naomi's critical moment, when God's opening that door to go back to Bethlehem, she abandoned that relationship and went back to Moab. Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi give us examples of what a biblical man and woman should be. For men, to know God's word, to love God's word, and to act on God's word, to feel the benevolent responsibility to provide for, to protect, and to serve in those different relationships that God has entrusted to you. Your actions teach a watching world what God is like. And I made a comment, it may have been in Gather, that manhood and womanhood together, when they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they teach the world about Godhood. That's why it's so critical for a man and a woman to be together in that particular design. Your actions teach a watching world what God is like. You may say, I don't know how to be like Boaz. I don't even know where to start. Once again, this is what church family is for. Building relationships, watching their example. And this is why we're going to have some experiences this summer that's just relationship building. You're going to be able to be exposed to other men and other ladies and to watch them, to hear them talk about their lives and to hear about God's word. We can learn so much from each other. We'll be able to share those burdens. And women, be like Ruth and Naomi. Hold on to God even when you feel bitter, even when you feel nothing with God. Don't give up, even if it's been a decade, even if it's been two decades since you have felt God. The presence of disobedience and disaster and death does not mean that God is against you. It doesn't. That was Naomi's first conclusion. She doesn't think that now. It means that God is up to something that you cannot see. So be like Ruth. Go where Naomi goes. Fully commit to those relationships. And when the tragedy comes, don't go back to Moab. Go to Bethlehem with that relationship. Devote yourself to the relationships that God has given you. Don't give up on them in the heat of the moment. Be willing to be open and vulnerable like Ruth. Affirm and stimulate the leadership of those men. Be willing to go to that threshing floor for your Boaz. And here's the last thing. It's the fourth, maybe, affirmation for us, is to risk for your significant relationships. This one is the toughest thing to do. It so exposes you. But if God puts something on your heart, you got to act upon it. He is sovereign. Here's the thing. For us as humans, it's a risk. But for God, there's no such thing as risk. There's a verse in Isaiah that says that God accomplishes all that he sets out, all that he speaks, he accomplishes. So the threshing floor is the beautiful example of what risk-taking looks like. Naomi was worth Ruth's risk. Boaz, the possibility of being with Boaz, was worth the risk for Ruth to dress up, go there in the middle of the night, and make her intentions plain to a man. Boaz is worth it. Your spouse, your children, your parents, they are worth the risk. Risk for your significant relationships. God will use that risk to accomplish his sovereign purposes. We have a God who uses rain and drought, poverty, prosperity to display and fulfill his promises. So trust in him and he will be faithful to redeem.